Welcome to Candid Catholic Convos, a program brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Our mission is to humanize the Church and help you to grow in your faith, love, and understanding. I'm your host, Rachel Trochet, a cradle Catholic who's only human and struggled with faith on more than one occasion. Each week, you'll hear engaging, down-to-earth interviews and actionable strategies you can implement into your life with ease to help you grow closer to God. If you're ready to open your heart and step fully into the person God created you to be, then you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Michael Parks with MyHeartMedia and WHP 580, and it's a pleasure to once again celebrate the Easter season and celebrate the most holy time of year with the Bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg, the Most Reverend Timothy Sr. So we got a lot of great information for you and inspiration and conversation to talk about. I think you'll have a good time with us today. So first of all, Bishop, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much, Michael.
You've been a Bishop of Harrisburg for 9 months, and in following the diocese's social media, you've been quite busy. And so how have things been going over these last few months?
It's been wonderful. It's been a really great time of grace for me personally as a bishop. And I feel very much at home. I feel like I've been here for a much longer time than just, 9 months, actually. And I view that as a positive thing to say, that I feel, that this is now where I belong too, which is a really good thing in a wonderful way. God has blessed me with this ministry. And I just have enjoyed getting around and getting to know people getting to know and getting a sense of the diocese and, some of the history and some of the experiences that people have had in various contexts. It's hard to generalize because of the 15 counties, there's a lot of diversity on multiple levels, history, culture. It's interesting to see. So wonderful, wonderful opportunities for the Church.
Yeah, it's a very wonderful area. That's the reason when I moved up here and I said, well, you can call this place home. And like you said, it's quite a mix of, traditions and people have it with you. Since you have traveled a lot throughout the diocese, what have been some of your impressions of the parishes and the Catholic schools? Are they welcoming you or they have questions, concerns?
I'm very impressed by first of all, the level of commitment that I've seen and the wonderful works of the Church that are unfolding every day throughout the Diocese of Harrisburg and the commitment of those who are carrying them out. I mean, I can use high schools as a good example. I've, visited the six high schools that we have in the diocese. I've visited many of the elementary schools as well. Just so encouraged by the commitment and the involvement of the commitment of alumni is really extraordinary here. The loyalty to their school and the ongoing relationship with the school, and that comes through in wonderful kind of community building ways of the supporting the sports teams and the rivalries between the schools. But it really does come down to their faith was formed there and they were encouraged. It's been a huge impact in their life. It's something I can identify with, actually, personally. I love my high school where I went in Montgomery County, Lansdale mm-hmm. Catholic High School. And I can see that. I've really just been inspired by it. And so that level of commitment from the administration, faculty, and staff of the school and the alumni as well is something that's really impressed me.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny story when I was going to when I go to Mass over at St. Margaret, and it's on the East Shore. So it's obviously that's Bishop McDevitt territory. And so I think it was a celebration of the Holy Trinity. And one of the altar boys says, do we really have to say Trinity? So it just shows, like you said, that rivalry and, that very, very friendly rivalry. But getting back to the serious side, it's well known that the diocese has faced some of the troubling times in the recent past, the grand jury report, the bankruptcy. Much like with the kids, what you see out there, it seems like the diocese has entered a new chapter. Thoughts on that?
Yes, I believe so. It's been, there's no way you can just say, we have moved on. And the one thing I would definitely say is we can never really set aside what had happened for the benefit of people who are survivors of sexual abuse. We have to always accompany them and recognize their story and that it speaks to us in a very, very challenging way that we have to learn our lessons, you know, and especially those of us in leadership from the mistakes of the past. And so that I don't want to lose sight of that. And so, you know, like you can't say, all right, we've solved that. We, you know, we've moved on. It's really a question of every day trying to make sure that we have not just policies and procedures that are on paper, but that we are actually creating safe environments for young people, and that we are responding as proactively as possible to assist people who have had the horrible experience of sexual abuse, whether it be within the context of the church or in any part of their lives. So I think that that's there. And as a bishop going around, frankly, I have it in my mind that lots of times it is on people's minds. You know, they are wondering about it, and there is still it's going to take generations, I think, to work through the experience of what surfaced, you know, in the last 20 years in the Catholic Church in the United States and the other parts of the world. So it's good to just keep that in mind, especially for people who are on the margins of practice of the faith. You know, I who don't go to church regularly, who aren't active in the church, and maybe they, you know, go occasionally. So like on Easter Sunday or Christmas Eve, I'm people coming in there wondering, looking at me, who's the new bishop? Is he different from, you know, the mistakes of the past? I just think it's, you know, it's a healthy caution, and keep that in mind. There are people who are looking for the spirituality that they would, you know, and the connection with God, but the scandal, frankly, really stressed their faith. And I think, you know, I want to name, you know, help them to find their way back to the full practice of the faith. Well, ultimately, it's about trust. And to be a leader, effective leader in the church, you know, I have to keep that in mind all the time and building the trust. My predecessor, Bishop Gaynor, was extraordinarily good at that. I could say that we have great policies and procedures in place, you know, from a financial standpoint, but in this area of child protection as well. We're looking to always improve them. And again, you know, make sure they're just not in a binder on a shelf, but that they're actually lived out.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why when we had this conversation, we continue to talk about it. I'm sure a lot of people are saying, well, you know, forget about it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. But I think it's right. It's like, you know, we learn from our lessons of the past, and we try to move on. But you know, we're just show that we're trying, and, you know, there were sins committed, and move on from that forgiveness. Before we started talking today, I took a look at the diocese website, and my gosh, a lot of programs and ministries going on. You know, throughout the diocese.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's a lot of creativity, particularly coming out of the Secretariat for Catholic Life and Evangelization here at the Diocese of Harrisburg. A couple of initiatives that, you know, would be good to mention. First is a program called Life-Giving Wounds. This is a new ministry in our diocese that reaches out to young adults and adults who have divorced or separated parents. It's one thing you need to think about. I remember working in seminary formation. When I was in the seminary back in the 80s, pretty much everybody that I knew came from a, you know, mother and father. Everybody was together, you know, kind of an intact family. And sadly, that's not the case as much. But you know, so I would meet young men who have discerned a call to the priesthood and love both of their parents, but you know, their parents have divorced or separated, or you know, some cases married and again, and that was all part of their formation, the experience that it had. So hearing that there could be such an initiative, there's going to be a 3-day retreat planned in April 12th to the 14th, and the retreat for Life-Giving Wounds gives participants a greater understanding of the wounded divorce that it has had in their own lives, and helping them to integrate that into their faith. Another important initiative that I think is very, very opportune for us is the annual men's conference, which is coming up on April the 20th. That's going to be here at our diocesan center. The conference is a chance for Catholic men in our diocese to come together. And I just want to make an appeal to men who might be listening to this, who do practice their faith and might be planning to come to the men's conference. I would just say, try not to come by yourself. You know, bring your son, bring your dad, and then bring the guy that you know who you coach soccer with, or who you coach basketball with, or who you know from work, who's a Catholic that's fallen away, or maybe someone who's looking for faith. You know, to invite that person, hey, would you come with me? You know, my dad and I are going to the men's conference. Would you come with me? I think those experiences of these men's conferences can be transformative in the lives of men. So I just want to encourage that.
It's a wonderful program and getaway. And what do you think men get out of it or take home with them? You know, what do you, there is a reward from everyone that I spoke to who attended. It's been nothing but, you know, positive. Like, I'm so glad that I did it. But what do you think most men take from that?
Well, one thing I know from my experience of having assisted is this one area of it, which is the opportunity of going to confession. If you haven't been to confession for a while and you go to a men's conference and you see all these other men who are doing that, it makes it a little easier. Right. And it creates kind of a safe space to say, hey, you know, I really want to get right with the Lord on every level of my life. And they could take that away, if obviously praying that they have an experience of grace and a new openness to God and a recognition and experience that, you know, God loves us no matter where we are along that journey. And I can be part of a community of believers, you know, and I think the fact that it's all men together, I think it makes it a little easier.
Yeah, not to drift aside there, but when you talk about confession, I mean, we always were taught when we were growing up, it was like, you know, it was kind of like a laundry list. You would go in, you know, I said, use God's name in vain. I may have lied, didn't do this stuff. What do you think is the key? But, you know, I think when you tell me, what is the key to a good cleansing confession?
An honest examination of conscience. And there's lots of tools that are out there, you know, examples. You could probably Google examination of conscience for confession and you'll get. I mean, you have to go, and be willing to be, you know, sort of dramatically honest, thoroughly honest, you know, about it. That's the one thing about confession is this, it's incredible. You're talking to someone who you really ultimately is the instrument of Jesus Christ. And hopefully mirrors the gaze of love that we have when we turn to Jesus. So whatever burdens we carry, we're not helping ourselves by continuing to carry them. In confession, let's just, so I would say a thorough examination of conscience and a willingness to just put it all out there, you know, and just be free of it. Let it go.
You know, this is the greatest story ever told. Thousands of years, every single year, from the clergy to the parishioners and the flock. How do you every single year try to make it different or special? Because so people just don't say, yeah, it's another year, it's another season of Lent.
Well, first, I think, and this has certainly been true as you're asking me what I've experienced in the diocese, throughout the diocese, and I have every expectation it will be this case. The case for the celebration of the Triduum too, but the liturgy itself, well celebrated, provides an experience and it provides the context for an encounter with Jesus in a new way. So, and I have seen that there's a lot of emphasis and sensitivity about the importance of celebrating Mass well, whether it is through the preparation of the ministers, the music, the decorations. It's really done very well throughout the diocese. There's been a lot of good liturgical formation in the Diocese of Harrisburg over the years that I've been able to see and experience. So I think that is important. So if we're churches, and they usually do try to ramp up, and so the people who have been away from the church or are looking to deepen it, we just got to do it well. And because the church really provides the guidelines and the context for us to really enter into a reflection upon the death and resurrection of Christ, also called the Paschal Mystery. So that's there. And if we come looking for it and expecting to encounter him, I don't think the Lord's going to disappoint us.
During Lent and very soon the Easter season, you know, we talk about this at Christmas time as well. This is a great time to come back to the church, especially if you haven't been in a while. Bishop Senior, what is your message for those Catholics who haven't been to church in a while?
Do not be afraid. Come back. I think we find our home. We find our home in God. We find the ultimate peace in our relationship with the Lord. And Jesus is profoundly present in the sacraments. Well, if we really think about his real presence in the Eucharist, and then I'm really meeting Jesus when I go to confession, I don't know how I could ever stay away from that, you know? And so it's, I know we have wonderful priests in our diocese, great deacons, parish staff that want people to have that sense of belonging and invitation, you know, is extended. So don't be afraid. Don't hesitate. No matter where you are along the journey, God meets us where we are. And even the thought of, you know, I've been away from the church for a while. Maybe I'm coming back. That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart already. In other words, he's already, that's in your heart, in you, because the Spirit's already with you and saying, you know, yes, don't hesitate, come back. And I really do think that the experience of a good confession can be transformative in that regard. But even if you're not ready to do that, come.
Also, you know, as I mentioned, and I tell the stories, it's when you go to church, and especially a mass, and you sit there and you're surrounded by the stained glass, the sounds of the choir, the sounds of the organ, the songs being said, the psalms being, you know, the words being of the gospel read. And at that moment, you know, I feel, and I'm sure a lot of people feel, it's a way to escape, especially nowadays when we're surrounded by all these electronic devices 24 hours a day.
Right.
That hour or so that you spend during Mass or to service, it truly is escape, and it's a refreshment and replenishment of your body, mind, and soul.
Yes, yes, and you know, to again know that God not only knows you're there, but God wants to touch your heart, and he knows what you need, and he wants to give it to you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really true.
Yeah,
and I think that if we go with that expectant faith and openness, I think it's there. And you know, you say, well, I don't think I can do all 3 days or 4 days, and that's a lot of church. You know, I don't know whether I did. Go to one.
Right.
Go one day. Yeah. Say I'm going to try to go Holy Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, and then see, and then maybe you will come back the next day. But you know, I think just any time we take a step towards God, we know that he's that loving father. That, remember the story of the prodigal son, right? You know, the father's already looking for him when he sees his son on the horizon. He sees him at a distance because he's been out there looking. Hmm. And that's the way God is with us all the time.
I think so too, that kind of goes past not only the service itself on a Sunday. I know my mother-in-law, when, you know, she was widowed, and so many people were out there widowed, lost, you know, loved ones, and they find camaraderie and community and friendship in the church itself. People who go to church with them, you know, there are so many events that go on outside the Sunday services. That's a great time for you to be and spend time with others rather than spending time alone.
Absolutely. And again, my Harrisburg experience, I've seen that again and again in all kinds of you know, traditions and parish events and communities. There's two things I will say. Number one is the fish fries. I mean, that was a totally new experience for me. I don't know what I was in southeastern Pennsylvania. I never was experienced to it. I had no experience of it. I was never exposed to it. But I have enjoyed, gone to several. And that's people of all faiths, too. You know, they come together, you know. And it's just wonderful experience of community, you know, that I've been able to see and to experience it. And that's really the other thing I see is, you know, I go to a different parish every Sunday. I try to, you know, typically with our pastoral visit, whether it's because I'm a new bishop, but they've been extremely generous in most of the parishes in creating some sort of a reception. And I'm amazed at the level of investment in that there, a couple of weeks ago, I was at a parish and it was a sit down lunch, you know, and, you know, people are really anxious to have that sense of community and, again,
breaking
belonging
your bread.
And the community experience and the encounter with one another, how invested our Catholic people are in their communities and in their parishes. I'm scratching my head on that. I said, that's really wonderful.
I guess the Lutherans have made that famous with their potluck, you know, and all their dinners. Hey, you know what? If it brings all the people together to serve the Lord and have a good time together, if it's food, that's all the better.
But I've seen it so many places. I don't want to say some of the parishes that I've been to because I don't want them to think one was better than the other. But they really are amazing. And,
yes.
And of course, I get the chance to, you know, sit and talk to people and get to know people and hear about their experiences. And
well, you know, much like Christmas, Easter, too, is that time of family, time of celebration, time of coming together. And a lot of us, you know, sometimes the traditions end and they don't continue. But I hope that every family still has traditions that they remember when they were growing up. And you mentioned this is quite of a unique area. When you were growing up in southeastern PA, outside of Philly, in the Philly area, what were some of the things that you remember as a child during the Easter season and the celebration?
Well, you think about the certain smells with each of the season, right? So, you know, I think of lilies. You smell lilies or hyacinths. My mother's favorite flower was a hyacinth. So, you know, like lilies and hyacinths, I'm immediately taken to Easter, right? Another one that does it for me is baked ham. Yeah. My father was the cook in our family for the big dinners. He was a great cook. So I think of a baked ham for Easter Sunday dinner. So there's the fragrances and the experiences of that, or, you know, the Easter baskets and all that. Easter egg hunt, dying eggs, smell of vinegar.
Right.
Egg dye. Remember you put the vinegar in the egg dye? But I have to say the main memory that I treasure is growing up was actually the worship and the experience of the liturgy. That was transformative in my life, and I discerned my vocation, I think, in many ways in the context of playing the organ. My mother directed our parish choir from the time I was a little boy, whether I was an altar server or whether it was part of the, you know, making the music and playing the organ or singing in the choir. I think of that experience of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. I remember the music, and I'm brought back to that experience of the sacred and the encounter with God. They're the memories that come out to me. And by the way, my dad wasn't in the choir, but my brother and sister and I were also in the choir. So we were sort of like the Van Trapp family singers. We were at a quartet. My mother, my brother and sister and I. So it was we were soprano, alto, tenor and bass. Yeah. I was the tenor.
Yeah. When and I always ask too, it was like when you're at performing, conducting, servicing the Easter Mass. It's prime time. It's a beautiful performance. When you do a mass like that, and you get up there and you think about, you know, what your homily will be and stuff like that, it affects you too as a celebrant of the mass when you do like an Easter mass.
Yeah.
It is a different.
Well, I would say with each one of the things, you know, like preparing, how do I prepare for it? One of the most important ways I prepare for it is I got to pray through those scriptures. So I want to encounter Jesus at the Last Supper myself before I can, and see what he has to, I got to work it through myself as a disciple before I can begin to formulate what he wants me to say to the people. Easter Sunday is an opportunity to announce the good news. And again, lots of people who aren't normally there. So we call it the kerygma, you know, the good news of the death and resurrection of Christ and what that means for us. And I just want to get it right. You know, I'm glad to see them. I love a crowd. So, you know, and I want them to have a good experience and I want them to be able to experience the joy of Easter, which I think is the joy that, as Jesus says, no one can ever take from us.
Yeah, I know that was like one of the things when I talked to Bishop Gaynor when it was during COVID, and he had to do that remotely, virtually, you know, at the cathedral. And you mentioned it was just so difficult because not having those people there, you feed off their faith. And it, you know, do you remember that? You probably remember those times, what it was like to.
I was blessed, actually. There was a small community of us that were in our bubble at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. There were probably about 30 seminarians who had stayed throughout the lockdown. And plus, we had the faculty, the resident faculty, priest faculty. So we actually had a community, socially distanced and masked, for the liturgy of the Triduum. But I know there were priests who were, you know, celebrating the Mass of the Lord's Supper by yourself. Yeah. I do remember celebrating the Chrism Mass, kind of celebrating the Chrism Mass, which of course is an important experience, in the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia with Archbishop Perez and the other three auxiliary bishops, and maybe the two priests of the cathedral parish in an empty cathedral, blessing the oils. And it was an overused expression, but it was a surreal experience.
Yeah.
I don't look forward to ever having to repeat.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, as we wrap up this time together, we always love to close out with your Easter message for the people of our area and the Diocese of Harrisburg this year. Bishop?
The good news that Christ has risen from the dead is transformative for all of creation and for all time. But in a unique, personal way, it can be transformative for each one of us. Let's take advantage of the opportunity that God gives us, the invitation that God gives us, to encounter the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in a new way, to let the message of Jesus bring hope to areas of our life and experience, to the deepest, farthest reaches of our hearts, the depths of our hearts, to encounter him and his mercy, his loving gaze in a new and life-giving way. And then through that experience, renewed in our faith, let's be ambassadors of light and hope for one another.
Amen. We want to thank the Most Reverend Timothy Sr., Bishop of Harrisburg, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Again, learn more about all that they do and all that you can be involved by going to the website hbgdiocese.org. We hope that you also take part in the many, many, many services. And most importantly, we all hope that you'll get together with family and friends. We hope that you will, no matter what your faith is, find a church nearest you. The doors are open. You'll be welcomed. Go in and enjoy this most wonderful time of year. Celebrate and it's like a rebirth. It's a rebirth. So, Bishop, thanks so much again for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Our thanks to the Rachels here at the Diocese of Harrisburg for helping me prepare for this program and produce this program. I'm Michael Parks, and a very, very happy Easter to you.